This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
All right. Happy Monday, everybody. We start with quarterback talk as the Steelers are in Indianapolis for the Combine. Probably not looking at rookie quarterbacks, but according to a man named Albert Breer, who took over for Peter King at Sports Illustrated when King left for greener pastures. He is reporting today that the Steelers are one of four teams that have interest with Stafford. And as you heard there in that clip from Pelissero at NFL Network, the Rams have given Stafford and his team the ability to go out and seek a deal. He has their blessing and their position, their permission to go shop around. So this has gone from maybe the Rams, something weird is going on there. Something's off, but they'll figure it out. They did last year. It'll happen again. Now it's moved a step towards go ahead, see what you can get. And then we'll see if it makes sense for us. So there is trouble in paradise there. And Breer lists the Steelers as one of four teams. The Browns, the Raiders, the Giants, and the Steelers. And if that's really the group that it comes down to, and Stafford has big say in this because he has to sign a new deal, he has to sign a contract with one of these teams, Malzi, Donnie, then it has a very good chance of being the Steelers if Pittsburgh's interested because they're better than those three teams. If that's all there is, why would he want to go play for the friggin' Giants?
New York?
Just to hang out in New York City? Prioritizes... How'd that go for Aaron Rodgers? Just trying New York City on for size.
Maybe Matt Stafford's wife likes New York.
Cleveland?
City. Hustle and bustle.
He's going to go to Cleveland. Where Miles Garrett, they're going to... Like, ships passing through the night, they're going to high-five each other. Stafford in, the best player on the team out.
If Stafford went there, though, would that not be a big shot to Miles Garrett or a message to him, hey, you said you wanted to be on a team that competes for a Super Bowl. This guy just won
one. Of course it would be, but like, I don't know. Are they going to ask the Rams to launder all the money on the Deshaun Watson contract? You know, before I found Amanda, I probably would have been interested in Sidney Sweeney, but that doesn't mean it's going to happen. It won't happen. It's never going to happen. I don't see how the Browns, given the horrendous decision they made to go out and make the worst trade in NFL history, how they would be able to accommodate Stafford while also dealing with the money from the Deshaun Watson blunder.
So the Watson deal is two more years, and the cap hit there is $72 million each time.
Yeah.
The dead cap this coming season is still $172 million.
Right. So they can
be dropped down to a whopping $99 million.
They can be interested, but what would the Browns sales pitch to Stafford be? Remember when you played for the Lions and they were completely dysfunctional and a complete train wreck? Would you like to try something like that again?
How about the Raiders? Tom Brady's there, indoor situation. You've got a guy like Brock Bowers. You've got like some pieces that people might like. Ground floor situation.
But we got Mike Tomlin.
And when have you used that as an argument?
I'm not, but I'm saying, according to the Athletic polling out there, he's the coach everybody wants to play for.
And who are they polling anymore for this?
That's a good question. And the Steelers were in the playoffs last year, and the Raiders were in last place. And go ahead, Matt. You want to go in a division where you have to get through Mahomes twice to get anywhere? Cool.
He'd have to get through Lamar twice to go anywhere in this division, not to mention Joe Burrow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What
kind of an argument is yeah?
It's a great argument because the Bengals had Joe Burrow all of last year. He had his best season of all time. And where do they end up? Worse than the Steelers.
Man, I mean, two is greater than one when we're talking about high-end quarterbacks.
Two things have happened here for me. Number one are the amount of people that just write this off like it won't happen after we saw the Steelers blow out their quarterback room last year because in their heads, they still believe they're close to contending and competing. That, to me, is inarguable. People say reload and rebuild. Those are verboten words in that facility. So we can say that all we want. They don't actually feel that way, for starters. And then the other thing I'm just miffed by and shocked by is the sheer number of people who don't want something like this. That would like, you know what I'd rather watch this year? Justin Fields fumble snaps or Mike Tomlin tell him you're not allowed to throw the ball over the middle of the field or them try to win with a quarterback that throws it 15 times per game. Like that somehow is more suitable or even take it this way, more entertaining than watching a future Hall of Fame quarterback who still got it.
Oh, Stafford's
still
more
got
interesting
game.
For sure. Stafford's way more interesting.
Not Aaron Rodgers having to go back and watch clips from 4 years ago to make yourself feel good about him. Or like we did with Russell Wilson. Oh, 26 touchdowns and 8 interceptions. Yippee. No, the dude basically had the best quarterback game of the season against the Bills, made Brian Flores look like a nincompoop in a playoff game, and then did everything he could to beat the Eagles. He had one of the best... Like Joe Burrow gets credit for being the one guy that beat Mahomes. Stafford gets credit for being the one guy who played his fanny off against the Eagles this year. And I got people telling me on our airwaves saying things like, this is just not a good idea. Why? It's the one move that gets them out of, even if it's temporary, it's the one move that gets them out of quarterback purgatory.
Who was trashing the move on the station?
Well, I don't mean to denigrate here, but...
Denigrate away. We thrive on drama. We're just, all catty here.
It just sounded like the Midday guys were just very anti this trade to the point where Bechtold said he wouldn't even trade a second-round pick for Stafford. Are you high?
You think Austin just got caught up in the moment there?
And he got caught up on the friggin' Baldwin student newspaper making him out to be Walter Cronkite is maybe what happened.
Oh, no.
My goodness.
Wait, what did I miss here?
They put out a piece like Bechtold is basically God's gift to broadcasting. I was proud of him. I mean, I love Austin, but...
Were you mentioned at all in the piece?
Last sentence.
Last sentence?
So were you. You and me were buried in the very bottom of it.
Talk about burying the lead.
I wasn't even in there.
Yeah,
wasn't even in there. The second... I wasn't even invited
to the party.
I wouldn't trade Matt Stafford for a second round pick is his second worst take or whatever thing associated with him today. I do think in his case there, if that's what he was saying, I think that's getting like way too caught up in like you get into one of these arguments on sports talk radio and you end up saying something you don't actually mean because you just get fired up. If you told me like you can make the money work, there's a contract that's going to be redone and agreed upon here and he can be had for a singular second round pick, even if I think it's probably not going to work out in the end for whatever reason, like they're too conservative as a team or whatever, you make that deal because the opportunity cost is low.
What's your definition? Well, that's a debatable point, apparently. You just said the cost because it's not just the pick. It's what you have to pay him. He, right now, as Pelissero said, is set to make $27 million. That's a non-starter for him.
That's why he wants out of the Rams.
That's why he wants out because he wants 40 to 50.
Correct.
So, you know, that to our listeners and I think other hosts on the station is a non-starter. Why give that amount of money to a Band-Aid quarterback who's not going to take you
very far? How many years do you think he could be their solution at quarterback, realistically?
Two to three?
Man, I think if you could get it to three, if you could convince yourself that it's 3-4, it makes much more sense. But that 2-3 just leaves so much wiggle room for what if it's bad after year one and then you feel like it's buyer's remorse by year two. I think if you could say with confidence, I think this guy for 3-4 years solidly can be the solution. It totally changes the paradigm here.
I don't look at it that way because I'm still probably going to tell you if they make a move like this that I would want them to use a 2026 first round pick on a quarterback. They've got to go the Packers route or the Chiefs route and try to have it for the set themselves up for the present and the future. I don't know. Like, that's another thing I don't understand. When people bring up Stafford, it's like, if you do that, that means now you punt on drafting a quarterback early for years. I don't agree with that.
Well, in an ideal world, I think you'd actually try to take the guy in 27. If you think he can give you 25, 26, and 27, the guy sits for 1 year. Then you get the deal off the books, and then you have 4 years of the guy on a rookie deal.
And look, yes, I agree with everyone who said if they get Stafford, they don't get elevated to a place where they're on even footing with the Bills or Chiefs. I'm not going to put them there. But they won 10 games with crappy quarterback play last year, or average quarterback play, let's say. He's a big upgrade on that. He's a substantial upgrade on that. So when I see people, you know, text or tweet me like they're just going to be the same team with Stafford, well, then what's the point of any of this? Like, if you don't think a top 10 quarterback makes your team better,
there are a lot of people who actually zero out at what's the point of any of this.
Then what's the point of saying should they draft the defensive lineman in the first round?
No, I know.
What's the point of saying should they draft the quarterback 2 years from now? If you literally think, short of Patrick Mahomes coming here with Andy Reid, nothing is going to fix this team, well then...
Well, that's the point, though. It's the Andy Reid part of that. There are people out there, I know I'm right to say this, and accurate, for whom nothing changes with this team almost regardless of what quarterback comes in until head coach and owner aren't the ones calling the respective shots anymore. Until owner cedes power to his son, until head coach finds something else to do somewhere else. I know that there are a lot of Steelers fans who feel that way.
And I share some of that sentiment, but...
But you clearly, I think, where you differ from them, and I'm closer to your side of this than not, is... Stafford is still close enough to the top of the heap to be the kind of guy who makes things very interesting.
Yeah, like you have brought this up several times. Are you ultimately convinced that Sean McDermott is a good NFL coach?
No.
And he's in the divisional round of the AFC Championship game every year because he has Josh Allen.
Correct.
We saw Tomlin, in the minds of many, and I partially agree with this, ride the coattails of Roethlisberger. Stafford, you're not going to be able to do that for 4 or 5 years, but I think he's good enough to do that for a year or two. He's absolutely an elite quarterback.
How does he look divorced from the McVay system, though?
How did he look divorced from that system in Detroit? Like a friggin' stud.
How many years old was he back then?
He was in his early 30s.
And late 20s, so it's unreasonable to suggest that a 37-year-old is going to look the way that he looked when he was, say, 21 to 31.
But here's the thing you have to ask yourself. He was never a mobile guy. Like, it's not
he could move around. He could move around better back then. He could absolutely move around
fair
better.
Fair enough, but I defy you to look up his stats and like show me numbers that would suggest he was actually a running quarterback. I don't think you're going to find the answer there. When I see his arm, I don't see a guy that's lost it at all. I don't
see probably a little consistency, I would say. Occasionally he'll have a bad game that suggests that it's not quite as fine-tuned as it used to be. But the completion percentage has basically been the same his whole career, especially the last 10 years. But I would again wonder, like, you're getting a very good quarterback when he's really on. There are a few better. How often will that guy be showing his face in this system, in this offense? And really, the million-dollar question
is... A lot more than Mr. Unlimited or actually, Justin Fields, I can promise you that.
Actually bring him in. Does the head coach have to move off his spot and say, yes, we are now a Matthew Stafford team? We are.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes, I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. but I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you're thinking about GLP-1s for weight loss, listen up. You must make sure you're maintaining your muscle mass while you're losing weight. Otherwise, you can slow your metabolism and regain the weight. Almacid, a natural superfood protein shake, has been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. It optimizes and supercharges your metabolism so you can lose weight easily. Use Almacid with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at almacid.com. That's almased.com.
Are not a mic time.
Out of the empty set on first down. Stafford is picked off. It's TJ Watt. And he's down to the 6-yard line. The Pittsburgh defense strikes.
Yeah, let's lead the witness and play highlights where Stafford effed up against the Steelers to just incite the masses and give them all the more reason to say, yeah, we're good. We don't need a future Hall of Fame quarterback. Let's roll the dice with Fields and watch Mike freak out every time he even thinks about throwing the ball over the middle of the field.
Well, we know that the Steelers put a big premium on what you do or don't do against them. That means they can't possibly be interested in them. They beat them. They went into L.A. and shut them out in the second half.
Donnie, I think he's 0-3 all time against them. Sunday night game in Detroit where Juju had that
97-yarder.
How about the game here in a lightning storm where the Steelers got killed in the first half, and it looked like Stafford and Calvin Johnson were going to set records, and then they shut him down in the second half. And the game 2 years ago in L.A. where Kenny Pickett outplayed Stafford in the second half. But I'd still, come on now. It's like our boy, didn't Andy Dufresne say it? Get busy living or get busy dying here. Or was that Red?
Red said that.
Great advice.
It was actually the coach from Little Giants who said that.
Moranis?
Yeah, it was Rick Moranis. told Icebox, get busy living or get busy dying out here, Icebox. It would make them much more interesting, just period.
And like, much better.
It should, on paper, make them a lot better. When he's on,
why do you have to put the
on
paper caveat in there?
Because I don't trust them. I also don't trust their offensive line at all yet.
Okay, but to
something
that,
he did have a good line in L.A.
To that point about I don't trust them, that would apply to Justin Fields.
Yes, it applies
to
all this.
And it would also apply to when people say, draft your quarterback in the first round in 2026. Why would I trust them on that?
Well, there isn't. That's why I am. I spoke about the nihilists in the Steelers fan base because the nihilism creeps in for me a little bit.
I'd rather have what I would call a turnkey quarterback. Here's a guy that can
ball. You don't want to build a house. You want something that's move-in ready.
Yeah, that's been on VRBO and it's already all, what's the word I'm looking for?
Furnished?
Furnished, thank you.
So Matthew Stafford's a vacation home that you're just renting here.
That's what Doug Gottlieb did when he got that Green Bay job.
He just went and got a
Vrbo? He just found a home on there and just bought it with all the stuff in there. And then he got drubbed by Robert Morris again.
That's kind of grim, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's a little grim.
I said I wanted calls on this, so let's take them. 412-928-9370. Also, programming note, 25 minutes or 35 minutes away from Gary Bettman joining us on the success of the Four Nations Tournament, his memories of Mike Lang, some thoughts on everything Sidney Crosby has meant to the league, what he thinks of Alexander Ovechkin going for Gretzky's record. Here's Paul in Pittsburgh. Hello, Paul.
I think going for Stafford would be a great play. I mean, I'd try to do a Brady and Tampa Bay situation. We know Cooper Kupp's leaving. Him and Cooper Kupp are big buddies. You know, that settles to your problem.
So like Brady and Gronkowski going to Tampa Bay together, something like that.
Yeah, and then, you know, you got to buy in now. Hayward's getting older. TJ's getting older. You know, you got a young offensive line. You know, say, hey, listen, we're buying it all in. We're going all in here. We're going to spend it. They got $60 million cap. So...
Does he have to bring Cooper Kupp? Are you okay?
Paul, you also sound very out of breath right now.
You're working.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, down in the basement here.
Yeah, we love the blue-collar guys that are able to multitask like that, so thank you,
Paul. And you're a blue-collar guy. You're cutting your grass usually, Pony.
Well, no, I pay someone to cut my grass. There's a very blue-collar guy who we trust to do it.
His collar's even bluer than yours.
Well, I like to employ the blue-collar guys to help their blue-collar businesses thrive.
But most of the time, the people employing the blue-collar guys are white-collar. So
what's
are
that?
You a white-collar guy with the blue body of the shirt?
No, it's like game recognizes game. Blue-collar recognizes blue-collar.
What would you say is the most blue-collar thing you do on a given day?
Do my workouts count?
No.
Why not?
Because that's not like, that's you doing something for you. Blue-collar, they're heading to work for family, etc.
How about getting my taxes together? Would that count?
Do you do your taxes?
No, but I organize it.
So you just move papers together. Like, you're basically doing what I'm doing in front of the mic.
I put a spreadsheet together.
Oh, wow. Excel.
Yep.
The domain of the blue collar man.
Daryl is next. One of our favorite callers. Hello, Daryl.
Hey, guys. Nice conversation. But I'm with Chris on this one. I don't really care what they do. But I've been telling you guys this for the better part of a year.
I don't really care what they do. What a depressing comment. So every time they draft someone or make a signing or trade, it's like, well, it doesn't make a difference. We're effed either way.
Well, yeah, because you've got the same people at the top of the food chain making the decisions. I mean, just because you go out and get Wagyu steak doesn't mean a diner, you know, a cafe diner is going to be able to prepare it like a Michelin chef. I mean, you're just blowing. And to be where the Steelers want to be above the mean, Andrew, you don't have to spend $50 million. You can spend $15 to $20 million. That's where they want to be, above the mean. They ain't trying to win no championship. They're trying to just be above the mean. So Rooney's going to be like, man, I ain't got to spend 50 to get to 10-8. I can spend 20 and get to 10-8 because that's where he wants to be. That's where he resides. That is where his home is. That Vrbo you talked about, it's in a nice neighborhood, but it's been an old home that needs some repair.
Now, isn't that what they always tell you, though, Daryl? Buy the crummiest house on the nicest street?
Exactly. But you know what? He's got a nice house, and it needs some upgrades. But you know what? It doesn't leak. So he's good at it.
So then by that logic, Daryl thinks that it's window shopping, asking for or reaching out to Stafford's people to see what's going on.
I think you walk
into a store, you have zero interest in buying anything, but you're just intrigued by what the store has to offer kind of thing.
I still think that you are discounting a little bit the appeal of some of the other teams mentioned there, specifically the Raiders, I think, because we know this. We know in Breer's write-up, he likes L.A. Well, one of those places is 4 hours away driving from L.A. and an hour flight, if that.
But just very bad schools from what I've heard.
Oh, bad schools.
Bad schools. I mean, you don't want to deal with that. He's got a young family. Does he want to drive?
Wait, you think Matthew Stafford is sending his kids to public school?
Does he want to drive down the highway and his kids got to ask him, hey, Dad, what's that sign about call girls? Can you tell me what that is? I mean, that's an awkward thing to have to deal with as a young father.
Well, certainly there are no places like
right,
that.
Right, Don? You know
here.
What I'm talking about.
Oh, I mean, I'm just picturing the Stafford family. They make a nice drive through somewhere. I don't know. Let's say McKeesport, and his son's going to say, Dad, tell me about Top Dog.
What? Well, he's going to say, Top Dog, get you top dollar. What's
that's
wrong
right.
with that?
So what's he going to say in Vegas? Dad, what's this bunny ranch I keep
that's
hearing
That's what I'm
about?
Saying. It's just there's some things about Vegas that really young kids, it's not –
I think if
not
I were
really,
Matthew
not,
Stafford,
not really a great situation.
If I were Matthew Stafford, I would rather play for Vegas. I have in Brock Bowers, I think probably a better player already than Pickens. Would you agree with that?
Yes.
Okay, no disagreement here. A coach in Carroll who I do think has his warts, that's obvious. But you know what's different from Pete Carroll to Mike Tomlin? Pete Carroll's actually got something to prove. Mike Tomlin has never had that question truly asked of him by the people who
you're saying
employ
Tomlin
him.
Rests on his laurels. Here's Carroll on the comeback trail. And how about Stafford saying, there's a Georgia Bulldog and George Pickens.
I thought you were going to say Carolyn Clinton. Yeah, I was like,
there's a Georgia Bulldog and George Pickens. I'm a Georgia Bulldog. He needs a dog to talk dog back to him.
Where did Brock Bowers go, if you'll refresh my memory?
Also Georgia.
Ah, yes. Donnie, I can hear the smirking tone
Darnell
over
Washington,
here.
Also a Georgia guy. Boom, 2-1.
Yes. I can hear the smirking tone of a man who knows he's starting to fight an uphill battle on this very specific point.
I actually don't think it's an uphill battle. I think most people in the NFL would say if your options are the Steelers and Raiders, the Raiders never win. At least the Steelers are close.
Aren't the Raiders there. Now very much a supposedly a different franchise? It's obvious Brady's pulling the strings.
Well,
as
then
minority
he shouldn't
owner.
Be allowed to broadcast for Fox, Chris, because it's a clear conflict of interest.
Mm. Okay. I'm just saying, I think the Raiders...
Am I right about that?
Yeah, I would love it if he was
get
never
off
on TV my
TV. And put Greg Olson in there, please.
That would be wonderful if he never was on
Donnie,
my TV
do you agree
again.
With that? If he's really running the Raiders, well, then why the
you're
hell am I having to watch him
issue.
On Super Bowl Sunday?
You're dodging the issue.
Well, he also has all of those things that he cannot do as a broadcaster since he's
right.
a part owner.
Notice they don't actually care about that when they decide it's for the Super Bowl, and they just are kind of like, yeah, you can say what you want.
Ed and Joel are capable of better. You know, Joel's a young goaltender. He's very athletic. We're really excited about this guy, but he's a young goaltender and he's going through a learning process here. And so the challenge is on us as a coaching staff to help him. We'll do the same with Ned. We'll keep working.
Not sure why there was like Neo in the background of that Mike
yeah,
Sullivan
what the hell
clip.
Was that?
But that's the clip that was given to us and that happened. Him, Mike Sullivan just bitching up a storm about his goalies and he should. I mean, they don't have an NHL caliber goaltender in the organization, and they have one signed for over $5 million a year. And they flipped the one guy who would be for Derek Brassard. But, hey, Jim Rutherford was at least making good moves to offset the bad ones. I can't say that about Ron Hextall, and I can't say that about Kyle Dubas. And honestly, this is really painful to say. I think Hextall has more good moves on his ledger than Dubas to this point. Hextall traded for Raquel and then signed him. And that looks like a bargain right now. Whereas Dubas signed Jari,
Graves
and traded
Graves.
For Erik Karlsson, who as soon as the Four Nations was done, you notice Erik Karlsson went right back to being a complete waste of space. Coming your way at 2:37, brought to you by Gina Giampietro of RE/MAX Select Realty. This is Hockey Talk. More with Gary Bettman in about 20 minutes. The commissioner of the NHL. They said, I cannot wait to talk hockey with Andrew Filippone, Chris Muller, and Donnie Football on 93.7
The Fan. Now, are you going to change to be Donnie Hockey for this interview?
No, I don't know if that person will ever exist.
We know Craigie Hockey didn't exist.
Like that.
When Craig was in that booth, we could have played the old Craig named 10 NHL players, and I don't know if he could have done it outside the Penguins.
We have Sean McDonough's homage to Mike Lang from Saturday that you'll hear in a few minutes. We also have P.K. Subban. Days after, the Pittsburgh hockey fan loved P.K. Subban for what he said about the NHL versus the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now here comes the other side of
P.K.
Subban.
P.K. giveth, P.K. taketh.
And Subban knew that he could incite the Penguins fan base with this take. The ESPN NHL feed didn't put out this clip. Subban had to put it out on his own. And it sounds like he literally had somebody shoot the video of him giving this take in the studio because the sound quality of this is just not very good. So I'm going to say that right off the bat.
Okay.
But we have it anyways. Pop actually played it on the Showdown last night. He was so fired up by it.
Were you on the Showdown last night?
I was. So it was Kabali. Kabali brought his son with him, and he said, hey, this is the kid that you guys talk about who always clogs toilets.
Big
and
celebrity.
I said, it's not just us. McAfee does the same thing.
Who was the third man in?
Mackie. Mackie's everywhere these days. Mackie's on here. Mackie's writing. Mackie's doing this and that.
Mm.
All right, so we have Subban. This is what he said about what's going on with the Penguins as he was watching them Saturday get destroyed by the Washington Capitals.
This is a poorly built team. They're undersized, undermanned. They're soft. They're set up to fail. And to me, the way this team is built, it's inexcusable. They shouldn't be against the biggest team in the league. They're getting outmanned in front of the net. You got two small defensemen there trying to battle Tom Wilson. It's not going to end good. Crosby deserves way more than this. At the level that he's playing at, where he's at right now in his game, his career, this is not enough for Sidney Crosby to do some damage with. He needs a better team around him. Mike Sullivan needs better players to coach. It's got to be put together the right way for these guys to be able to have a chance to make the playoffs. And I don't see it. And for me, it's on Kyle Dubas. You're getting paid $7 million a year? That's what I expect. If it's a rebuild, then rebuild. If it's not, then we got to see better results on the ice. This is inexcusable.
Now, there's a ton there.
Is that one of those like ASMR videos where like they're trying to make like gentle crackling noises near the mic so you get relaxed and go to sleep? The hell was that?
I didn't know that Dubas was, I should have known this. I didn't know Dubas was making $7 million. That is stealing. How many guys on the Penguins roster, Donnie, are making more money than the team's GM? Look that up for me. And he's making more than Sullivan. Even though, you know, if I'm going to defend Sullivan for a second here, at least that guy's won two Stanley Cups and rescued a team that was looking a lot like this team looks now. And won a cup and then did the unthinkable in the salary cap era, ran it back and won another one. Dubas's claim to fame is that he took an underachieving Maple Leafs team, made them respectable. That's the most I can say about it there. They didn't do playoff damage. They were thought of as a team that could win the Stanley Cup.
And never did.
And never did. And part of it was because he kept getting the goaltending thing wrong. And what do you know? They're doing the same thing now. How many guys are making more money than him, Don?
Two that Sid are over $7 million.
Sid and Carlson?
Yep.
I think the biggest indictment I can give of Kyle Dubas, there's twofold. I think he, and I used to do this, and then the more people I talked to, the more I backed off this stance. I don't think he had to have his arm twisted into Tristan Jarry getting that extension. Like, people said Mike Sullivan was just so pot committed to Jarry mentally that, like, they kind of pressured him.
Kabali said last night that Dubas was forced to do it.
Yeah, I have heard from multiple people that in no way, shape, or form was he forced to do it. He didn't. If he needed any cajoling to go along with it, it was barely any. Like that was a warm. He was a warm prospect already. He was a pretty big Jarry fan. Here's the other thing. I also think that like they're rebuilding now. Clearly, I do think his mandate initially was to try and win, and the moves he took or that he undertook to try to make a winner again or a playoff caliber team again
were god awful.
Were horrible. I do think right now what he is doing is trying to strip this thing down. I think they have more draft picks in the next 3 years than any other team in the NHL or like the top three rounds.
Great,
they have a
because
lot of
we
picks.
Know second and third
yes,
round picks in the NHL turn into good players.
Late firsts turn into crapshoots. My point is, whatever he's doing now is somewhat irrelevant to the question of when he got hired, was he trying to build a playoff team, a contender, a team that could still get in and try to win? And I think he was, and he did a horrible job of it. So if that's your basis on which to judge him, why on earth would you then feel great about the prospects of him in the long term building this thing back and making it something that is the envy of the rest of the NHL?
The overall point that Sidney Crosby deserves better than this, I agree with, to be stuck on one of the worst teams in the NHL. I do think in the pie of blame, there is a slice that goes to Sid, not because of the way he's played, but because he wanted...
They all
Malkin and Letang, and he wanted those guys, that core,
they said we're
to still
going
be
off
here.
They said we're going off the cliff Thelma and Luis style.
But,
together.
I mean, I still think with those three guys, if Hextall and Dubas had done a better job surrounding them with players, that they could be something close to what Washington is right now.
This gets brought up all the time, and I, because this guy was always kind of in a way my favorite of the big three to watch, it always hurts me and stings, and I would occasionally say I didn't believe it or didn't agree with it, but given the fact that they've done nothing in the postseason since 2018, like haven't won a series, You could have probably traded Malkin at some point. After what you lose to the Capitals, you don't three-peat. You could have at least entertained the idea, and the pretty obvious consensus is they didn't even entertain it. Going back to, again, the big three wanted to stay together.
Yeah.
There was, let me put it this way.
I mean, I wasn't ready to do it then, so yeah. I have a hard time levying that
ready,
criticism against
them. I wasn't
them.
Ready to do it then, but like sometimes you have to be a year early on something or like take a bold step early, and that would have qualified, but like, again, they all wanted it to be this way, and if you weren't going to take a shake-up step like that, that still would have required the player's approval and sign-off, then this is probably what you were always going to get as a logical endpoint.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.